Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with an attorney from Thomas More Society about a law in Illinois that actually went into effect the beginning of this year. And thankfully, there's an injunction against this law at the moment by a judge, and it's in reference to abortion. Here's the bottom line. Must pro-life centers actually advertise to those who they're trying to help, hey, you can get an abortion, and here's a number where you can get an abortion? In other words, playing for the other side by force because the state is saying they must do that. Thomas Ulp is an attorney for the Thomas More Society. He joins us now on Vocal Point to discuss this and the recent injunction. And Mr. Ulp, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
Sure. I try to stay current on these different laws, and I remember when California passed such a law, and it went into effect in 2016, we certainly alerted people about it, and unfortunately that law still is the law of the land there, but I didn't realize that in the land of Lincoln, there was such a law like this. Can you, first of all, explain what the law is, and in theory, how it's supposed to work?
Sure, Jerry. Back in 1977, just a few years after Roe v. Wade, Illinois passed a Healthcare Right of Conscience Act, which essentially preserved the rights of pro-life physicians and health providers not to get involved in abortion. And so here, 40 years later, the pro-choice forces have worked together to pass a law in Illinois. This was passed last July, which right in the heart of that healthcare right of conscience law now requires pro-life health providers to not only talk about the risks and benefits of abortion, but also to give out, either refer or transfer or give out information about abortion providers to their clients and patients.
Well,
and, that's what the law says. It went into effect January 1 of this year.
So how would this actually work then? In other words, like, for example, at a pro-life pregnancy center, a crisis pregnancy center, if a woman comes in and, you know, they want to offer them a free sonogram, they want to give them a free pregnancy test. And, oh, by the way, if you want an abortion, you can go down the street and here's the phone number and there's the address. They actually have to refer to it legally? Is that right?
That's what the law requires. Upon the request of a patient, they have to give out the name and addresses of abortion providers that they're aware of, that they reasonably believe provide abortions. The way the law reads is provide the services that they have a conscientious objection to.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Right at the heart of conscientious objection.
Could it be reasonably assumed then that at the Planned Parenthood clinic, if somebody asks, hey, I might not necessarily want to have an abortion. I might want to see this baby to term. Is the Planned Parenthood clinic required by this same law to say, okay, well, there's a crisis pregnancy center down the street. They can give you a free pregnancy test, and here's their name, phone number, and address, and good luck with that.
You know, in fact, the law does not apply to them. It applies to only to people who have conscientious objections. So if the abortion clinic down the road, the Planned Parenthood, doesn't have a conscientious objection to you carrying your baby to term, then they don't have to provide any such information. So the law is, as the federal court decided last Wednesday, the law is viewpoint discriminatory. Huh. And content-based, and therefore law requires that the government have a compelling interest for the law and that it regulate no more extensively than required. And the judge said the standard clearly hasn't been met here in this case.
Okay, we'll
start down the law. Yeah. In a preliminary injunction proceeding.
Okay, I want to explore that in just a moment, but I'm first trying to get my mind around the law itself. So, if I understand you correctly, the law does not require those who provide abortion services to refer to those who provide free pregnancy centers, et cetera, crisis pregnancy centers that provide alternatives to abortions. There, so in other words, it only favors the abortion industry and not the other side. That is, that's astounding, astounding.
It is astounding.
Yeah, especially in...
It's just nefarious. It's pernicious.
Yeah.
That it strikes right at conscience objectors. And it's been an effort by the pro-abortion industry to somehow normalize abortion and to force people to say, well, there's no, we have no moral qualms about abortion. We treat it just like any other consumer good. And pro-life physicians and pro-life pregnancy centers will never go along with that approach.
Sure.
So that's why we had to file suit to, you know, to end this, the application of this law to pro-life people.
Okay, so tell us about the lawsuit then. Who initiated it?
So a number of lawsuits were filed, and we filed two lawsuits. And last December, a judge in Rockford, Illinois, issued an injunction on behalf of three pregnancy centers to enjoin the law from being applied to them, those three, preliminarily until the lawsuit has been decided completely. And that was not good because it wasn't adequate because it only applied to three pregnancy centers. There's like 100 pregnancy centers in Illinois.
Wow.
And many, many pro-life physicians. And so a number of other lawsuits were filed. We filed on behalf of 23 pregnancy centers and pro-life physicians. And so this last Wednesday, the federal the judge in one of the federal lawsuits decided that the injunction should apply across the board and completely enjoin the state from enforcing this law, pending the final resolution of the case. So that judge's decision was not limited. It extended to everyone, and therefore our clients are protected now by it.
Yeah, that makes much more sense. Okay, so this is just a temporary injunction, or what's the next step?
Preliminary injunction.
Okay, and then what happens?
And then the case is litigated. So essentially what the judge said is that the state of Illinois has the burden of proving that it has a compelling interest to pass this law and that it's no more burdensome on free speech than is necessary. And we've told the court that, that there's absolutely no compelling interest. There's no reason for this law at all because all you have to do is go on the internet and find abortion providers.
Yeah.
There's just no problem to be solved here. And furthermore, the state doesn't have to, how is it narrowly tailored to require the very people who have conscience objection to speak about the law, speak about abortion and abortion providers? If the state wants people to know about abortion, they can get their own website or have the county health departments give out information about it. To put that burden on conscience objectors is, as I said before, nefarious, really.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable they would do that.
Huh.
But so, they did.
Yeah.
And it's called government-compelled speech. The government tells you what you have to say.
And that's...
Irrespective of your objection, they say, you will say this.
Wow.
And that's government-compelled speech. It's a violation of the First Amendment.
I would think so. But you said before we even started recording this that these kinds of laws against the pro-life pregnancy centers, against the pro-life doctors of conscience and so forth, these are beginning to be a trend. And I mentioned California at the very outset.
Right. The one in California requires all health care centers to provide in like 9 different languages that you can get a free abortion down the street, you know, so to speak. And they just passed one in Hawaii, a law in Hawaii. There's been litigation in Maryland and New York City, or in New York. I'm out here in Tacoma, Washington right now visiting relatives. And I see on the web this morning that they passed one in Seattle.
Wow.
Where every pregnancy center has to say, we are not a healthcare clinic. You know, so it's an effort by the abortion industry, as you mentioned before, Jerry. It's industry specific. How is it this industry should get a special, you know, legislative treatment? It's an effort by them and their cohorts to promote abortion. pregnancy centers are very effective in persuading women that it's in their interest not to have an abortion.
Right.
They do that by suggesting and providing a free ultrasound, pregnancy test, counseling, and abortion clinics. The abortion industry, which operates for profit, doesn't want to see this and doesn't want their numbers to go down. So they're getting the state involved to try and carry their water, truncate the rights of the pro-life movement. And this is something that's happening throughout the country, and we as pro-life attorneys need to respond to that, and we are responding to it.
Mm. Again, we're talking right now with Thomas Olp, who is an attorney for the Thomas More Society. Since we're talking about Illinois specifically, well, let me give an anecdote from Illinois. I remember I visited the campus of Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, certainly one of Illinois' most prominent universities. And it's not a hotbed of conservatism by any means. So anyway, I picked up a student newspaper or something like that that was available there in the library, and it was local-based. And basically the article was about, this was about 3 or 4 years after Roe v. Wade went into effect, and it said that there's an unintended consequence to abortions, and that is women who expected that they would solve a problem by having an abortion have found that emotionally and psychologically they are plagued with all kinds of guilt and bad feelings after the abortion, and they never had any intention to do this. There's no religion involved in this. They feel bad. And so, you know, it was basically like an article warning women, don't think that there might not be potential emotional consequences to have an abortion. And yet that kind of information, unfortunately, is often suppressed. And here it was, at least in a secular outlet there in Illinois.
The position of the pro-life pregnancy center is that women, when faced with an unintended pregnancy, are often kind of channeled into having an abortion. Well, that's the easiest way to get rid of your problem. And the purpose of the pregnancy center is to say to women who are faced with unplanned pregnancies, hey, you know, there's other options than abortion. You can carry your child to birth, and you can parent the child, or you can give the child up for adoption. Abortion is a third alternative, but you really need to consider all three alternatives. You really can't just, you know, think that abortion is going to solve your problems, because there are indeed long-term consequences. I mean, how would anybody not realize that their child, you know, their unborn baby is not a human being? And yet there are plenty of people out there who would if they get their way, have women not even think about those things. Mm. And so the pregnancy centers are really doing a wonderful service for women to help them make a choice. And they're doing it all for free.
Yeah, and think of that, well, they're providing the services for free for the women. But of course it involves, you know, fundraising, it involves people passing the hat, and funding, I think, is a very important thing here. Is there not a profit motive for many in the abortion industry? But those doing this, providing these pro-life alternatives, what they're doing is essentially missionary service versus mercenary service on the other side of the aisle.
Exactly right. That's right. The abortion industry is profit motivated. So do they have any interest in women hearing all the options? None whatsoever. Why would they want a woman to hear options that are other than abortion? No, they want to shut all that talk down, and they paper it over with this idea that women with an unplanned pregnancy naturally want to have an abortion. It's a total lie. And so pregnancy centers are a very valuable thing, in a very valuable service. And for the state of Illinois,
yes,
to come in and try and essentially stamp out their message is just terrible.
I agree. Thomas Olp, thank you so much for joining us. ThomasMoreSociety.org for more information. God bless you, sir, and all the best.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jerry, for having me.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.